It is black out there, isn't it?
Ooh.
Yeah. That keeps going that way. We may wind up, I may wind up having to speak over the elements again. Yeah, that's just, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And now please, would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verses 17 and 18 tonight. Romans chapter 12. Finishing off verse 17, and we'll be maybe finishing off verse 18. All right, are there any announcements or information that you'd like to make those assembled aware of tonight? Nothing. Small group. Not too many things. I will, Cecil, I think this, isn't this light supposed to be on over here? That one? No? How are people supposed to be able to see in the closet?
It is.
I think that one's burnt out.
Are both of these on the same switch?
That's not supposed to be there?
It's been on for a long time.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'm okay with it. Oh, okay. All right. All right, well, if nothing else, we'll get ourselves underway then. Following our customary procedure, the next few moments will be dedicated to silent prayer. You have a few moments to gather your thoughts, lay aside the cares, concerns, problems, difficulties of the day, and now begin to think and concentrate on the objective at hand. Therefore, in preparation for our service this evening, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful once again to have the opportunity of assembling ourselves together around your word and to receive the instruction of justice as we receive our sonship education. We thank you always for the cross of Jesus Christ and the redemption that he purchased for each one of us there, that we might have far more than we ever dreamed of when we were justified unto eternal life, but that we have this magnificent life in Christ that we have now and are made aware of through the effectual working of your word. We pray for your wisdom in the matters to be discussed and dealt with out of it, and we certainly pray for its effectual work and for the aims and the goals and objectives of it to be achieved in each one of our hearts, and so that we might be made once again more conformed to the image of your Son and be edified unto godliness which is in faith. We ask these things, of course, in the name of your dear Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, once again, Romans chapter 12 and verses 17 and 18 is the first component of our receiving of the instruction of justice as sons. And the gears shift after you leave verse 16 into 17 and 18 to now begin to address the three major issues in which God always thinks of whenever he thinks of justice. And the first of those is going to deal with the individual person. And to deal with us, it's starting to blow out there, isn't it? To deal with us as individuals and as sons that we are, this is going to be justice when it comes to you and I personally and the way we personally think of ourselves, the way we personally think of interacting with others in the society in which we exist, the people that we come into contact with. And this is general. This is where justice begins. This is not where it ends. Again, this isn't written in a casebook style, so the job and the onus and the responsibility is yours to be able to make the application into the details of your life, into the circumstances and situations in which you find yourself. But the first component of that reads this way, is verses 17 and 18, give it. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. That's the godly thinking. The godly living or conduct and behavior is provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then the godly labor will be, in verse 18, all of it, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We've been coming to the end of verse 17 and dealing with the godly living, the godly thinking, being recompensed to no man evil for evil. And that is, again, that's none of this is information that you just learn. Set it aside to learn something else. In sonship education, everything is learned to attach itself to the next thing and be brought with you. So you're actually bringing six components of wisdom with you to verse 17. You're bringing all of your sonship orientation, all of your sonship establishment, as well as everything you were taught in justification. You're bringing all of that with you into class when you deal with verse 17, and this is the way it's going to be when you move on out of it to the next verses and the next components. So the godly, initial godly, fundamental godly thinking behind all of God's justice is how he thinks justly now as he exists, as he lives in this dispensation of grace. And it is a dispensational issue. It's an issue that you, and by the way, this should point up how important it was and the genius of God in dealing with that addendum to your sonship establishment, the addendum that you receive, that the members of the remnant of Israel would not receive, because they're not in this dispensation of grace. But instead of jumping from the last verse, verse 39 of chapter 8, to Romans chapter 12, we had chapters 9, 10, and 11, three chapters to make sure that you rightly divide the word of truth, that you understand the unique apostleship of Paul, that you understand and appreciate the dispensation in which you live, and that you understand and appreciate where in God's word you're going to perceive your words of understanding. So all of that is brought to bear, and we can talk about things about, I know that we could anyway, but if you were tracking along with the way we were supposed to have been educated, you can now intelligently track with how God exists today, what he is doing today in this dispensation of grace, and why not recompensing evil for evil is the way in which God thinks when it comes to justice. And not, for instance, pouring out his wrath here and there, places that we would like him to pour out his wrath, Washington, D.C., or, you know, on some criminals, or on some hotbeds of liberalism, or whatever else you might, what grinds your gears, or whatever else, or nor is God pouring out his wrath in the imagination of most Christians. And Christians imagine that God does that. When certain events line up, when war takes place, when hurricanes take place, when different weather-related climactic events take place, there's always some Christian running around saying that this is God's judgment upon a particular thing or people or sin or whatever else it is. But this is not the way God operates today. He has been holding back his wrath, and therefore he is recompensing to no man evil for evil during the duration of this dispensation of grace as the fundamental basic principle and thinking that stands behind all of his just actions today. And so that means that just as we look back in Romans 2, that God is operating on his goodness, mercy, and goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, that too is going to be reflective in your godly thinking to not recompense or pay back or return an equal amount of evil or wrongdoing to any man for the evil or wrongdoing done to you. That is the seminal life-giving issue, as we have talked about. But what I wanted to do is to go to the next one, which would be this one, which is where we are now in moving that thinking into the godly conduct and behavior, the godly living, where you are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's the natural outlet for that kind of godly thinking, to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Just to kind of once again recap that, and we've talked a little bit about that issue of you're going to provide things. It's not just be honest, not just be a good square chum and a straight shooting Joe and all of these kinds of things, but provide it means there's going to be some real contemplation, some thought, some forethought. It means to see before, to look after, to attend to something. You're going to see to it that something takes place instead of recompensing evil for evil, to exercise forethought in taking due measures in view of a possible event. And again, it's possible. It's not always going to be that way, but it is possible that you are going to have evil done to you. And also, and not only just generally, but evil done to you as you are being conformed to the image of Christ and as you are putting that reality of who you are in Christ on display. So just to cap that off, to provide things honest in the sight of all men is the issue of you as a son or as a daughter receiving from your father. This is what he's teaching, not what the world taught you, but receiving from him the instruction of wisdom. First of all, you have received the instruction of wisdom. Having received the instruction of wisdom, and this first component to the instruction of justice, it's the issue of you as a son. And I say it that way because you can't just coldly jump in here. Even if you jump in at verse 17 at the beginning of justice, you have to bring God, that whole issue of the development of those three features of godly love, into this. It's almost mandatory that it has to be there for this to work properly. So having received the instruction of wisdom and the first component of the instruction of justice, providing things honest in the sight of all men is the issue of you as a son conducting and behaving yourself consistent with who you really are. That's that issue. I don't know if that's on here, but that's that issue of honest, to provide things honest, to put on display what is suitable, what is genuine, what is true of who you really are in Christ, especially sanctification-wise, as a member of the body of Christ. That's that newfound status or entity in which you now exist. I know it's hard for us to think that way because we've talked about the body of Christ 10,000 times before or more before we ever even were notified that that's what we were in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. But that's where you were first notified of that. So, relatively speaking, that's new information. And still mind-boggling information, still revolutionary information. So you're going to now be consistent with who you really are in Christ, sanctification-wise, as a member of the body of Christ, which is a dispensational issue. You're going to be honest and true to who you are and who you are as a member of the body of Christ right now in this dispensation. Because that's the way your Father is thinking in justice now. It's the way His Son is thinking and dealing in justice now, neither one of which are recompensing evil for evil, neither one of which are pouring out their wrath or settling the score. Believe me, they've got a score to settle. But for 2,000 years plus now, they have been done evil and wrong that is so compounded it's almost beyond belief. And yet, the gospel is still held out. It still has the power to save as it always has. God has not retracted it. He has not diluted it. He has not poured out little bits and pieces of His wrath here and there. He is just as consistent as He was when this dispensation of grace began 2,000 years ago. He is exactly like that now. And that's to be reflective in you as His Son. And therefore, because of while the men on this earth, lost men, and really a great amount of Christians who are uneducated sons themselves, uneducated daughters themselves, while they have a natural, innate sense of general survival-type justice that we talked about when we talked about that issue before. Well, let me get the one that has... I think I want... I'll get there, that one. Here's the general, this is what every lost man has and every Christian has who has not received the instruction of justice from their father, an uneducated son as a Christian. That's all they're going to operate upon. Some kind of that general sense of survival justice that's got some building blocks upon it that has some shape to it and some form to it, but it's all been shaped, formed, and molded by the course of this world. And while they have that general sense of survival justice and would see nothing, in certain circumstances, they'd see nothing terribly wrong with recompensing evil for evil. Again, this is very circumstantial oriented. It's in certain circumstances, even some Christians today would not see anything wrong with recompensing evil for evil done to them. You burn my Bible, I'll burn your Quran. You do this to me, I'll do this to you. And in certain circumstances, would welcome it, would see nothing wrong with that. The loss of this world, for sure. A properly educated son, though, knows that the fundamental justice thinking of both God the Heavenly Father and God the Son today is to not recompense evil for evil, and because God currently recompenses something entirely different, goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, and because it's God's design and purpose that by holding back His wrath and not dispensing it and not recompensing it, evil for evil, He allows for a man to be led, as He talks about, to repentance. And that's the driving issue, the driving element behind our sense of justice today. And it is coming down, isn't it? Somebody say, God's judging that heretical teaching. I've been called that. But because, again, you have that in your mind. You know why. You're not just not recompensing evil for evil because you just want to be a goody two-shoes. But you're not doing that because you know that the thrust behind that is just exactly what your father's is. You have already, I was talking to Katie briefly before class about it, experienced what it's like to provide an environment of hospitality. Well, you're bringing that to the table of this justice. Now you're going to provide an environment in which peace exists that allows a man, just as God allows a man in this dispensation of grace, the opportunity to repent, to change his mind about his status in the sight of God, him being able to do anything to change it himself, and cast himself upon the Jehovahness and grace of God and believe and respond positively to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is given by the Apostle Paul today. And so the only possible consistent thing for you to do as a son is to provide things honest in the sight of all men. With that kind of thinking, the only consistent thing for a son to do is to conduct and behave himself consistent with his identity with Christ. And this is part of that identity. You didn't know it at the time that we went over this, but this is part of who God made you to be in Christ. And with really all that God has made you to be in Christ. So a properly educated son, as far as basic fundamental justice goes with himself personally, and this is what this is about, you personally, and with those he comes into contact with, but it's you personally and your personal dealings with those who you come into contact with, a properly educated son will provide things honest. He will exercise some perception, and it's going to take some, folks. This is going to mean some work on your part to not be asleep, but to be perceiving, to be cognizant, to think, to look, provide things honest. Just like you ladies know about when you've got an upcoming gathering of your family, you've got a Thanksgiving coming up, you've got a birthday coming up, you've got an anniversary coming up, you've got something like that coming up, you're going to start looking for what needs to be done, for opportunity to get things done, and things get rearranged, and you're going to start providing for that moment and that time to take place with all of the essential elements that it needs to be successful. Well, that's what a son does. When in justice, he is recognizing he lives in a different, even though he lives in this world, he lives with an entirely different world in mind. He lives with his father's world in mind. And with that in mind, he's going to He's going to be ever looking. He's going to be perceptive. He's going to perceive and have some foresight, just as the word provide talks about, to see to it and be prepared in advance for the times when he has evil done to him. And you're going to be thinking along those lines. This isn't going to be an everyday occurrence. It may not even be an every week occurrence or every month occurrence. But it will occur. And someone will do evil, will do wrong to you. And what you're looking for is the opportunity to provide things honest by means of your godly thinking, of not recompensing evil for that, not trying to pay back, get back, square the table, level the playing field, level the scales of justice or whatever. But you're going to prepare in advance for the time when evil is done to you, that by means of the effectual working of the godly thinking, you then will be able to put on display the truth, honest, provide things honest, the honest truth, the reality of who you really are in Christ in the sight of all men. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And lost people are going to do you dirt and do you evil and do you harm, and believers are going to do you dirt and do you evil and do you harm. But you're going to provide things honest in the sight of all men, which is the only consistent thing to do when you as a son recompense to no man evil for evil. Well, this issue, more often than not, like I say, when you think about the way in which the men of this world operate, the lost of this world, the Christians of this world who have never been properly educated as sons, that's all the justice they have to operate there, those Legos over there. And it's a structure, I mean, it is a structured system. That's why we call it, even with all of its warts and everything, the justice system. It's not perfect, but it is there. And it is a very, very powerful entity in the lives of men in this world. It is incredibly powerful, and it's incredibly sensitive. There are neighbors who use so much as get a stray ball in their yard, and they're about ready to call the police. This is my property. There's absolutely no trespassing on my property. I mean, the sense of justice gets real, real sensitive sometimes. And you see it today, and you always see it when some big issue like the killings that took place out in Colorado or the others that took place here recently and this kind of thing. And man, everybody's talking about justice. It's on the tip of everybody's tongue today. But more often than not, this kind of justice here, and all we've got, all we're talking about, is just this first level here is all we're talking about. More often than not, that is the exact opposite of that, of how men of this world think and how they act. It's the exact opposite of recompensing to no man evil for evil. It's the exact opposite of provide things honest in the sight of all men. Which is why, for example, you think about it for a minute. I know this probably won't hit the ladies and girls here tonight, who, just by looking, far outweigh the men here tonight. But I got to admit, one of my favorite genres of movies, you know, it's not my all-time favorite movie, but one of my all-time favorite movies, one that I always enjoy, is an old movie of Clint Eastwood's. You ever hear of The Outlaw Josie Wales? Man, that movie, that is real entertainment for me. I just really enjoy that movie. Or some of you Liam Neeson fans recently have seen this movie Taken. Well, there's an entire genre of movies out there, and I don't know if you've ever seen The Outlaw Josie Wales, but Josie Wales has his family horribly, brutally killed off. And the rest of the movie, for about 2.5 hours, is him going out and rendering evil for evil. And he goes out and he gets back, and you sit in that movie and you want him to just nail those guys. You don't want to see those guys arrested and taken away in handcuffs. You want to see them blown away. They did such horrible things to him and his family. You want retribution. You want to see that movie star get in there and just tear them to pieces. Kill them and all those. And you get, if you're in movie theaters when the climactic scene takes place and the bad guy gets so horribly killed off, people even cheer when that moment takes place. And there's a whole movie genre of this justice type revenge film, payback film. Tombstone was another one where, you know, Wyatt Earp at the end of the thing, the whole thing with him is his brother was killed off and one of them maimed, and he goes out and he gets retribution. And his peacemaker is a blue steel beauty. And he puts it on his hip. And it fires bullets. And he even had it engraved, the peacemaker. Well, who doesn't enjoy that? I mean, that's the idea of he's been wronged, he's going to go out and he's going to get his pound of flesh. And we cheer that oftentimes, more often than not. And our natural thinking is we think that if he didn't do that, at least men think that, I don't know how women think, but men think, if he didn't do that, what kind of man is he? That's, you know, they always want to paint it so bad that the restraints of justice don't seem to really matter. What really matters is his so-called honor. And we come along and say, well, we think of that as an honorable thing. He's just defending his honor. Well, that's all built into that system. But you're taught here by your father that defending one's honor in a godly way is to provide things honest in the sight of all men. To conduct and behave yourself as a son true to who you really are in Christ, and to do that, you're not going to respond with the conduct and behavior of getting even. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get my pound of flesh or whatever. Now, the reason I go into all of that is once again to try to set these two systems of justice together and have you see how different they really are. And again, we're talking about certain circumstances, but over here there are no circumstances that would warrant that. There are circumstances over here that certainly will warrant justice to be done, but through a system that God designed to get it done. Your overriding principle of godly justice is to behave yourself, conduct yourself consistent with who you truly are in Christ, and not getting your pound of flesh. You should see there's a big difference in this from that natural innate sense of survival justice and the behavior that men have from it, and the kind of wisdom that this world has built into it. There's certain offsetting principles in the world system of justice that would allow in certain circumstances, even to this day, that wink or overlook certain things that are done when the justice system says, well, the guy certainly deserved it. Well, that's because that whole behavior and conduct that you have in justice naturally is erected upon that. And actually, that's that issue of you're going to get even. That feeling, that inclination, that trend, tendency, that wrong was done to me, I'm going to get even. I just stuck it on a block up there, but I put it on that first level where that conduct and behavior would be, where a getting even in certain circumstances is certainly looked upon by a lot of people as the only honorable thing to do. You're going to get even. And it's quite easy to see how that someone would accuse you of being dishonest and full of just bravado or only you're pretending to be courageous. I mean, you've heard it before. I know my dad when I was growing up, again through this whole sense of general justice, he always taught me when it came to fighting, and he was a fighter. He settled matters with his fists. He settled a lot of matters with his fists. And one of the things he always told me and Tim, he said, whenever you're in where you think there's going to be a fight, he said, the guy who will do you the least amount of trouble is the guy who's always talking. He said, the guy who will tear you up is the guy who never says a word. That's the guy to watch out for. Because in that world, when you're just big talk and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, to not do it, we grow up as men looking upon that as dishonest. If you didn't get even with somebody that wronged you, then you're not honest. You're dishonest to what? You're dishonest to your manhood. In fact, most of the schoolyard fights start out this way. I was in a couple. Somebody starts off, he said this. He said blah, 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 fill in the blank. He said this about you. And you talk a big talk like you're the tough guy of the school. Well, if you are, then you're going to go out and you're not going to take that. You're going to go out and get even. Settle the score. And if not, then you start shrinking in the eyes of your buddies. You're dishonest when you were all talk about what a tough guy you were. Well, I'm just again trying to pick on this a little bit by bringing out a little bit of the sense of justice that is oftentimes built into us naturally. The world's sense of justice says you have to go and recompense for that wrongdoing. Get even for that wrong done to you. But the only honest thing for a son to do is to not recompense for that. We're not to get that carnal payback. And again, it's not just because you think that, well, and you may bristle at this because you naturally like doing that. And that you don't cotton too much to the idea of being a pacifist. We're not talking about pacifism. We're talking about godliness. And whether something in your imagination may match up with pacifism, that's your problem. But this is godliness. And godliness knows the reason why and the hows and all of the machinations behind it and what is at stake in that. And what's at stake in godly justice is far greater than settling a score and getting even. What's at stake in godly justice has a view to that man's never dying soul. So that's really the overriding issue that we've got when we're looking at this issue of provide things honest in the sight of all men. All right? Any problems or questions with that before we move on? I guess that kind of reiterates what I went over last time, but I'm finding myself having to do that. All right. Did you swim in or what? I'm glad you made it. It's terrible out there. I'm having to yell just to get across. I know the people that hear this, they probably can't hear how hard it's raining. Cindy said she saw sometime this week that some guy had actually built a life-size ark. In light of godly justice, how would... Now, he thinks he's honoring God. Now, maybe he's doing it just as a teaching tool, and he's got a lot of money, and he can buy really, really, really expensive teaching aids. But if he's building that with the idea that God's going to flood this world again, he's sadly mistaken. Anyway, all right, well, if that's clear enough, and hopefully it makes sense, that the only sensible thing to do in with the godly thinking of recompense to no man evil for evil is to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Okay, well, let's move on then. We have the godly thinking, we have the godly living, and let's move on to now the next aspect of godliness in this first component, the final one. The godly labor aspect of the first component to our instruction of justice is all of verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All right? You probably read this verse and almost have a sigh of relief that it's worded the way it is. Especially those first two phrases. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, when the godly just thinking is effectually working and doing its job, and the godly conduct and behavior is there, verse 18, this is the natural outlet that it's looking for. It has a desire to move somewhere, and its desire is to move into a component of your Father's business that has to do with you and Him laboring together. Just you get to labor with Him exactly as He's been laboring for 2,000 years in this dispensation of grace. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Like I said, when the other two aspects of the godliness are there, this is where it wants to go, to labor with your Father in some business of His specific to this dispensation of grace in which we live. First of all, like I said, and I could tell by some of your response, notice how God puts this in those first two phrases. You've got three phrases that makes up the godly labor, verse 18. They're marked off by the commas. You've got those two commas. If it be possible, comma, as much as lieth in you, comma, live peaceably with all men. You've got those first two phrases, and my understanding is that those two phrases act as, I thought long and hard about this, it's not exactly wrong to talk about them as exceptions, but I would rather use the word qualifiers. They qualify the final phrase. The real core of the godly labor is live peaceably with all men. But this is qualified by two phrases. And this is not only comforting, and it is, it's comforting to see that, especially first phrase, if it be possible. But folks, this also, there's something far more serious going on here. This actually sets up a precedent for you and me as sons in this dispensation of grace. I'm going to talk about that precedent. I like the word precedent because it's a legal term. We're talking about legal issues. And these things are going to come up later on throughout your sonship education, but it gets set up right here. Well, the actual labor is my, in my understanding, is the last, as I say, the last phrase. The actual labor is to live peaceably with all men. And again, just as we had all up here, we have all again down here. You're to live peaceably with all men, saved, lost, and so forth. But that very difficult phrase is qualified by two things, or two previous phrases. So let's look at the first of those. If it be possible. And I don't know how much time you spent thinking about this, but hopefully when you did, you'll see that there's clearly as it were, with the two phrases, two different focuses. There's one focuses on one thing, the other one focuses on the other, and they're both sides of the same coin, so to speak. But if it be possible, tells you that there are times, the most obvious thing is, anytime somebody says, if it be possible, it tells you that there are times when living peaceably with all men simply cannot be done. And that's true. And your Father recognizes that. That as you live today as sons, there are times when you cannot live peaceably with all men. Now I'm going to warn you about something here. Don't jump to conclusions. All right? Put your conclusion jumper in neutral. Don't be sitting there saying, aha, I knew I could go after that guy. Just hold on a minute. Take it one step at a time. But it is true that if it be possible, recognizes that living peaceably with all men simply cannot be done. It recognizes the fact that even a quiet and peaceable Christian life, and I mean Christian in the best sense of the term, or simply living out the truth of who you really are in Christ in this present evil world, will sometimes be met with inescapable trouble. And it will. It already has. Even the Apostle Paul seemed to encounter an inescapable and unavoidable trouble most of the time, most everywhere he went. If we have enough time tonight, we're going to look at a major place in which that happened. And it's amazing to see the nuances of Paul's understanding of his sense of justice as it was taught to him by his Father in this dispensation of grace as he maneuvers through and has to go through the whole justice, legal justice process. But Paul certainly is one that you can point to and say, well, it was inescapable for him. He just could not avoid some trouble that came his way. That's true. And you can certainly look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who as a son put these very things on. You know, It's been amazing. I've been prepared for this all along, and not one of you have done it. And that's fine. I'm not saying this to be critical at all of you. In fact, I'm glad you didn't. But I was fully prepared to have a whole raft of people coming at me and saying, well, this is exactly what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Jesus taught here, and this is what Jesus taught there, and all of these kinds of things. But yeah, he taught some very similar things, but they were all within the realm of God's program with Israel and what they were going to do, and there is a major difference. Because God did not dispense, was not in a dispensation of grace. And if you understand it properly, you would understand, for instance, why Christ was so upset with Peter when he pulls his knife out and lops the ear off of the centurion's aide, and Christ has to heal his ear. And understand that properly, you have to understand some things back in the prophets. Everybody knows the passage that talks about the time in which you will you're supposed to take the you'll turn your plows into pruning, or your swords into pruning hooks and all of this kind of business, and learn war no more. But very few people read the verses that are sitting back in the prophets and say just the opposite, to turn your plows into war implements. There's a time for war in Israel's program. So even though you can see similarities going on there, they have to be set within the context of what God's doing in that program. Now, that's more than I meant to say about it, and I'm the one that brought it up. Answering myself. It's raining so hard, though, I feel like I'm just talking to myself. Well, I say all this because, and I say that when you read, if it be possible, that that's comforting in the sense of God didn't come along and say, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, live peaceably with all men, period. That would have caused us some panic. And in fact, that would have been a very frustrating thing for you to do, because that's not true to reality. And reality, even for God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, really had this issue, if it be possible. And that's why I say this is comforting, in the sense that if he said, live peaceably with all men, with no qualifiers, that would be an impossible command for you to carry out as a son. And the truth is, it's simply not possible to live peaceably with all men. But let's turn our attention to what this does do, and where this points the focus of attention. What this does is to, for the first time in your sonship education anyway, it sets up a precedent. That's a legal term that is used. A precedent in terms of law is an initial act or an initial instance that's going to now be recognized by the law to be used in future dealings with similar instances later on. That's why oftentimes you'll see all those law books in a lawyer's office. Those are cases. And if a high court, for instance, has ruled one particular way, that set a precedent. And they can go all the way back to the 1800s. They can go sometimes back to the 1700s and say, this is how the courts operated. This is the precedent that was set. And therefore, this is a similar circumstance, and the judge and the jury need to bear that in mind and rule accordingly, because that's the way we've set the precedent in our judicial system. Well, this sets a precedent for us that's going to be used in later similar circumstances and instances where things like this are concerned. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on that except to point that up, that this is going to set a precedent, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And the precedent that I'm after here is what I'll bring out a little bit later on. But this is a critical precedent. Well, I'll bring it out now. The core of this precedent, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. Have you been able to determine where, I don't know if this is a fair question at all to ask, probably not, but where the focus of attention is upon in those two little phrases? If you think of, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, do you detect where the focus of attention goes to? That is a bullseye. Yeah. The first one, if it be possible, the critical core precedent is, if it becomes impossible for this to be done, it is never, I'm going to say it as Katie kind of put it in reverse, it is never to be because of you. If it be possible, live peaceably with all men. The focus is upon them. And the precedent is, if it's impossible to live peaceably with all men, it can never be because of you or me. It's because of them. And that's going to be picked up on and dealt with again over and over in our sonship education. And you'll see that if you pay attention to some of the things that Paul sets forth in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's never because of you, it's because of the other person. That living peaceably would be easily done if it were not for them provoking the issue. In other words, if the opposite of living peaceably What if you to just put a throw a word on the opposite of living peaceably, that you now have trouble. If trouble does take place between you and any man, it is you are never to be the cause of it. You are never to be the, let me put it this way, and this needs to be said carefully. Listen to this carefully, because these are carefully chosen words. You are never to be the selfish, fleshly cause of it. And I'm saying it that way because it's very true that because of your simply living consistent with who God made you to be in Christ, that honest truth and reality of who you are, that can garner trouble coming your way. But it is never because, ever, in any conceivable circumstance, even an imaginable circumstance, it is never in a son to be because of his fleshly, selfish, wounded pride. By the way, the truth of this, the matter is, well, I think what we're going to do, I'll just leave this and then we'll come leave this little cliffhanger and come back to it after our break. But the truth of the matter is, you were told something already that should have made it so that this issue comes as no surprise whatsoever. But I want that to sink in, that's the issue. If it be possible, live peaceably with all men. But a lot of times, oftentimes, men won't allow that to happen. But it's always because they won't allow it, not because you won't allow it. It's you are never to be the selfish, fleshly, wounded pride cause of it. Rather, you are to recompense to no man evil for you. You're to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Well, we'll take our break right here. We're at a good place for a break. And before we get moving into our attention toward the second issue lying there, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But we'll take a little breather right here. Maybe the rain will settle down a little bit, and I won't have to yell so loud. So we'll take a break right here and come back in a few minutes.